Hello, hello.
Bonjour.
Ooh, she went French this time.
And I did it quickly.
Is that the only French word you remember?
Fromage.
Why is that you and my mom?
Je m'appelle Jamie. Je ne sais pas français.
Okay.
What does that say?
I do not know
French. I do not know French. That's all I need to know.
It's true. That's come in handy. Well, you don't need to know French to join us today. Hello, everyone.
You do need to know English, though.
You do. Sometimes what we do is not fully English.
Yeah, actually.
If you guys got to hear the unedited version, it would be a journey, that's for sure. How are you, Jame?
I'm all right. Probably better than the last time we checked in. How are you?
I'm good. You know, living life. The ups and downs.
The trials and tribulations of high school football.
Exactly. Exactly. What's new? Anything fun and exciting to tell the people?
I saw the first Omen movie. It was okay.
Oh, I have not seen it.
You see any scary movies recently?
I watched Talk to Me.
Right.
I watched, what's that, the one with the guy from the Naked Brothers Band? Nat Wolf. The one on the beach, where everybody ages really quickly. Is it just called Old?
I think so. You watched that one?
It was not good.
Really?
I did not enjoy it, even a little bit.
I haven't seen it because I felt like it would send me into a panic.
Probably, yeah. It's probably not the film for you. Jamie's got a significant fear of death and aging. So a movie about rapid aging is probably not your jam.
No.
No, I did not enjoy. But that's the movie snob in me that didn't enjoy it. It was probably fine.
Hopefully you enjoy today.
I'm gonna enjoy today. You know why? Because we get to talk about history and ghosts. I probably shouldn't have clapped into the microphone. I'm so sorry. We get to talk about history and ghosts.
I'm Kate.
And I'm Jane. And this is Creeps and Coffee,
a show where we talk about the dark parts of the world around us.
Cryptids, conspiracies, things that go bump in the night.
And the crimes behind the scariest creatures of all, humans.
Join us as we take a look at the stories sure to give you the creeps.
Pull up a seat, grab a coffee,
and let's have a chat.
But yes, ghosts, history, what more can you ask for?
Millions of dollars.
That too. But for now, we don't have millions of dollars, but I can tell you all about the Queen Anne Hotel.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can.
Give us that history. It's kind of juicy.
It is. Okay, this is what I was going to say. This is your type of history, and it's also my type of history, because if there's one thing I like to do, it's yap. And it's gossip about things that are none of my business. Absolutely nothing to do with me. And the best part about the history of the Queen Anne Hotel is that it's all about gossip. Probably was terrible for this poor woman who was involved in it. But.
Meh.
She's fine. She's good. So, the Queen Anne Hotel. Can I also start by saying, I worked at a hotel for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked at a haunted hotel for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Every hotel you go to is probably haunted.
And if not the hotel itself, the land it's on, probably.
Oh. My hotel was very, very haunted.
Yeah.
So, I empathize with the people who work at this hotel. But it has not always been a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a quick glance back. I promise it will not be as long of a tangent as I normally do with the history of things.
True.
Let's take a quick scoot back to look at the history of the Queen Anne Hotel. Ooh, that was a good sound effect. I like that one. That was good.
Thank you.
Okay, so if we look at the hotel itself, it was a big deal. Miss Mary Lake School for Girls was very prestigious. Built in 1890, the Queen Anne Hotel was originally one of the most exclusive girls' boarding schools in the San Francisco area. Mm-hmm. It was very prestigious. It was very hard to get into. It was a big deal. So in order to understand why it was such a big deal and why Mary Lake School for Girls was what it was, we have to talk about Mary Lake. So.
Sick name.
Sick name. Mary was born in Little Falls, New York in 1849. Her family moved from New York to San Francisco when Mary was a toddler. And her father became one of the city's wealthiest lawyers. So her family was quite well off. They had a family mansion, which I would love to be able to say the same about. Mm. And she grew up with a really well-rounded education. In the 1800s, it really was not common for women to have a solid education. The late 1800s, women were starting to get more access to it, but it really was only upper-class society who was able to afford private education for women, because they didn't really consider public education to be necessary when women were either going to be stay-at-home moms or they were going to essentially be single for the rest of their lives mm-hmm. and be spindlers. So for her to be as well-educated and refined as she was, it meant a lot to her, and she applied those same skills and that same fervor into her teaching. She knew that she wanted to be a teacher. She knew that she wanted to be involved with children. She taught at a few grammar schools in and around San Francisco before she decided to open her own academy. So in 1889, she started the Lake Seminary, which was a private boarding school for girls. It was a tiny, or not tiny, mm-hmm. modest, let's say, mm-hmm. little spot on Post Street. Typical building, typical school, I would say. But she was used to something bigger. Mm-hmm. She wanted the girls at her school to not just have a good education, but also to feel comfortable and feel like they were going above and beyond, and that they deserved to have above and beyond. So she wanted this nice space that would also attract rich families mm. to want to put their daughters in her building. So it would be 1890 where she moved the Lake Seminary to a custom-built building on the corner of Sutter and Octavia. This building, which we now know as the Queen Anne Hotel, had 31 private bedrooms, a dining room, and a well-stocked library. This building is considered to be a Victorian mansion in the Queen Anne architectural style, which is probably one of my favorite architectural styles. It was very popular in the States from 1880 to 1910. In terms of color and style, they were decorated in the Painted Lady style, which are essentially Victorian and Edwardian houses that have been repainted in modern day, well, the 1960s. Mm. So we don't really have an image of what it looked like in its prime, but now it has three or more different colors that enhance the natural, or the, oh my god, I can't even talk, enhance the architectural details. Mm. So you can really see that Queen Anne style coming out, mm-hmm. which I really enjoy. The problem was, she was paying about $400 a month in rent. I'm actually gonna...
That is a good USD. Price for us right now. I would kill yeah. for that. For a whole place. So, that's enough for, like, a bedroom, maybe, nowadays.
So if we look at... Oh! So, according to my inflation calculator, $400 US in 1890 yeah. is equivalent to about $13,700 today.
Okay, so that's a lot.
So 134 years ago, she was paying 13 grand, almost 14 grand a month in rent. And although her family was well off, this was beyond her means. Absolutely. Mm. This is where a man named James G. Fair stepped in. And this would bring more attention than I think Mary would have liked.
Hmm.
For...
Is he the one with the weird nickname?
Yes. He is. So James G. Fair was considered to be one of the more prominent figures in the hotel industry, which is ironic that it would later be turned into the hotel. So James Fair is the namesake of the Fairmont Hotel and all of the Fairmont Hotel chains. Mm-hmm. So he was an Irish immigrant who went to America to become a miner, made a lot of money, became a mine superintendent, and then basically increased his net worth by investing to about $50 million by the 1880s. So he was considered one of the richest men in the world. He was also on the U.S. Senate from 1881 to 1886. Because of his money, he was really, really despised by other men, and he was very attractive to women.
Hmm.
Which, fair. So he did marry.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a happy marriage. So he married his wife, Teresa Rooney, in 1862. She was a boarding house keeper. He was a young miner.
She was a skater boy. He said,
exactly.
See you later, boy.
Exactly. So here's the gossip. This is my favorite part. Terrible for everyone involved, but gossip nonetheless. He was always a bit of a womanizer. He had his charm around women, and even before he had money, he had a wandering eye, let's say. When he finally struck it big and went to Washington to serve his term as senator, it got a lot worse. He had money, he had power, he had all of the women at his whim. And it was essentially all about sex. Teresa filed for divorce in 1883.
Teresa Caputo?
The typical Long Island mom. So, Teresa filed for divorce, and her attorneys claimed that they'd found two women. One was a San Francisco brothel owner, and the other was a sex worker who testified that they'd had criminal intercourse with James.
What does that mean?
Adultery was a crime, keep in mind.
Oh.
And sex work is a crime. So he was described as a habitual adulterer, and Mrs. Fair, or Teresa Rooney, was awarded $4.25 million, the mansion that the two shared, and custody of their three children. At the time, for 1883, it was the largest divorce settlement in history. So, we love a girl. We love a girl queen.
Oh my god.
Women supporting women. I love it. Cheaters never prosper.
Touché.
As three of my ex-boyfriends can attest.
Only three? Sorry, it feels like more.
I've only had four.
And it wasn't all four of them.
Oh, fuck, that was funny. Only three?
Sorry.
So, a few years later, obviously, 1890, the now bachelor, Mr. Fair, was spending his free time helping poor little Miss Mary Lake build her dream school and funding the project. Obviously, because people talk. In October of 1891, the San Francisco Chronicle published an article titled "Cupid and Mr. Fair."
Oh.
Where they said that the senator had found love again with a school teacher, and that the pair had already married in secret, and everything was a big deal. The girls at the school obviously giggled about it and scandal. Whispered. Big scandal, because this is one of the richest men in the world. The question becomes, did they have an affair before the marriage? All of these things, right?
Mm.
So they both adamantly denied the affair.
As one Mary, does.
Absolutely. Mary in particular, I think probably, I mean, I don't know. I can only assume because he is a man. I'm sure that Mr. Fair took some pleasure in the rumor and probably made some offhanded comments about it. But Mary in particular felt the scandal was invented by her enemies to taint her fledgling school.
Oh. And people do hate to see a woman succeed.
Well, exactly. Especially in 1890.
Mm.
So reducing her success to simply having an affair with the senator really would have discredited a lot of the work that she put into the school. So it was not a positive rumor for her by any means. She's quoted as saying, and I love this, is the most like 1890s response. The very idea. I haven't seen the senator but 10 times in my life. And Mr. Fair called her an estimable lady, but she is not my wife.
What does that mean?
Like, she's a good person good looking to look up broad to. Yeah, she's aight, but no one ever really knew why he was paying for the school. If they were never lovers, if they were never really friends, why was he doing this?
Blackmail?
So there is an article that says that he paid for the school because he was friends with Mary's father, the judge. But that's not really...
We've got no proof of anything.
Yeah, there's no real proof. So he funded most of it. She still paid her rent, which is also a weird agreement that they would come up with if they were married or if they were having an affair.
Mm.
Why is she still paying him something? I don't know. It doesn't all add up. It just seems very much like a societal, because she was not lower class, but lower than the richest of the rich.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. So he died in 1894. Oh, that nickname that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Slippery Jim.
That's his nickname. Word.
Yeah.
I was like, silly something slippery.
Slippery Jim. Which is not a nickname that I would ever want for myself. Slippery?
Could be considered an innuendo.
It could be. I've heard it before.
Was your gym slippery? Move on. Change the topic. It's got gross.
So, yeah, 1894, he died. He left the building because even though it's her school, he's funding the whole project. He left the building to his daughters, which was quite interesting. After he died, there was a big... That's Ooh. A whole other tangent I could go on. There was a whole scandal about women who were coming forward More. Claiming that they were secretly married to him and trying to claim part of his estate. Oh, it was a whole thing. But he left it to his daughters.
That's even worse.
They shut it down in June of 1896. Didn't really say why. Might have been financial reasons. Maybe it wasn't producing. I don't know.
Hmm.
They sold the building in 1899, and it became a gentleman's club called the Cosmos.
Hmm.
And when I say gentleman's club, I don't mean, like, strip club. Like, more like a country club.
Got it.
It was then, after being a gentleman's club, it spent 12 years as an episcopal diocese for the Girls Friendly Society Lodge, which is...
What does that mean?
I actually didn't even look at that. It was a charitable organization that empowers young girls from 5 to 25 to develop their full potential.
Slay. And their frontal lobes.
Mm-hmm. Which is an interesting thing, first of all, to be in England and Wales.
Ah.
Interesting thing to come out of there. They are not really known for that. And it was established in 1875, so we love female empowerment from a time when there was real problems going on for ladies.
Yeah.
Anyway, spent 12 years as their lodge. Eventually fell into disrepair, and then in the 1980s, it was restored into the Queen Anne Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
In 1902, Mary Lake moved to New Jersey, and she died 2 years later in 1904 and was buried in New Jersey. So the problem here is that Mary Lake is buried nearly 3,000 miles away from the Queen Anne Hotel.
Yeah.
But if you ask anybody, her final resting place is room 410.
Yeah. But to be fair, when that guy from the Titanic died, his wife said she saw him, right? In their living room?
You're right. Yeah.
So ghosts don't have to stay where they were buried.
You're right.
Just saying. Yeah, I've got some ghostly experiences about there.
Fantastic. I was going to say something else about... So yeah, the Queen Anne Hotel. Before you jump into ghost stories, I'm going to summarize it. The Queen Anne Hotel, now, has 48 rooms and suites. It has an outdoor courtyard. It has free Wi-Fi. It has continental breakfast. And it lists Victorian charm as one of the high points on its website. I love looking at hotel websites because I'm snoopy because I worked at a hotel. But it is also considered to be one of the most haunted hotels in America. The pictures are gorgeous. Looks super haunted, though. That's it. That's all.
On that same vein, the Queen Anne Hotel is also part of the Haunted San Francisco Ghost Tour. So,
I love ghost tours.
Give us a commission on that if we send anyone over.
Please.
I also wanted to add, before I get into some of the spooky stuff, does anyone remember that we already talked about this on an episode?
Did we?
Yeah, it was one of the game show...
Oh, quote, it so unquote, was.
And Jeopardy questions.
And I did not get it.
Nobody got it. Not you, not our guest stars, nobody. Damn. But I did, because I wrote the question.
Well, yeah, that's bullshit.
It was also featured on the TV show Haunted Hotels. For obvious reasons, I am about to impart upon you. I don't think that's proper grammar, but you know.
That was, you got it. Thanks.
So, yeah, you already mentioned it's one of the most haunted hotels in America. Mm-hmm. So, essentially, anyone who considers themselves a ghost hunter has gone there already or will go there. Not you, but me, I would love to go.
No, see, the problem with you saying that, the problem with you saying that is that you are going to make me go.
Hmm.
Which is why this New Orleans trip is going to be miserable.
It's going to be so good.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to add, when you were describing it, as of right now, when this episode gets released, for a one-bedroom hotel, or one-bedroom, one-queen bed, it's $254 Canadian.
That's on the upper echelon of things, but it's not bad.
It's a bit pricey, but it's also in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And they could definitely up the price because of all this talk about it being haunted. So I think there's a pretty good price. They haven't let it get to their head.
It's like the Banff Springs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, you were correct. Most of her occurrences apparently happen in room 410, not 420. For some reason on this website it says room 410 also has a bidet. Riveting. Ghosts and bidets. What more do you need?
Sounds like a perfect time. Why is it room 410 that she haunts? Do you know?
It was her office.
It was her office.
Yeah.
Which, I feel like we've talked about this. Did we talk about the Banff Springs? I think we did at one point.
We didn't do an episode on it, but I think we've mentioned it in passing.
Okay. There's one of the ghosts at the Banff Springs is like a bellhop who like still brings people's luggage and stuff.
Yeah.
And the thought of just like being stuck at work for the rest of eternity. Like, I'm sure that they love their jobs, and her going back to her office is clearly like that was her comfort space.
Mm.
But the thought of working for eternity is really unsettling to me.
My ghost will be in like Italy.
Yo, yeah.
Yeah. Like, sorry, I will not be at work today. I'm out of the office forever.
Yeah. Out of commission.
But yeah, she is not confined to that room 410, though.
Mm-mm.
There have been many different occurrences, and if anyone doesn't want to do any reading or anything, I've been an avid fan of these guys for a while. I like Sam and Colby. They did a video in the hotel, so if you don't like podcasts, go watch that instead. Use your eyes, not your ears. Well, do both. It's a video. They're gonna talk. but throughout their time there, and this is what wanted, this is English.
It's not working today.
This is what convinced me to do this episode and like put it on the 25-page Google Doc, was a whole bunch of stuff happened in the video that I couldn't explain. There.
I think. Go ahead.
You go.
No, you go.
You go. You go.
I was gonna say, I think that's the unsettling thing for me is like, it's not even like the things that happen so often are scary or like menacing. Because when you think of like just talking about Mary's ghost, because there are other occurrences. But when you think of like, oh, an old girl's boarding school headmistress haunting the school, like it's, you almost picture like the nun.
Mm-hmm.
But she's reportedly so friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And like helps with the guests and makes sure everything's okay. And
yeah.
No one is ever like, oh no, this woman terrified me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one guest who stayed there and she left a TripAdvisor review. And she didn't realize that this place had a reputation for being haunted. And so she wrote in the review, I sort of woke up like one night and felt like someone was gently tucking me in. And, like, pushing on my collarbone, but I found it strangely comforting. And then, after her trip, she found out that Miss Mary is known for tucking in people into their beds.
See, sure, sounds super comforting and super nice, and I know she has the best of intentions. Don't touch me in bed. I don't even
That's why I don't want to stick my leg out at night, because of people like you. Don't do that. She's also known to pull covers up over people while they're falling asleep. And unpacking people's suitcases for them while they're in bed.
No, see, that one I could
I would appreciate behind. If you can pack it for me, not unpack it. I can do that part. But if you
No, see, my problem is I never unpack it.
Okay.
You saw the floor in Vegas. My shit's just everywhere. So if she's, like, unpacking and putting it in drawers for me, then, you know what, go ahead. Just don't touch my blankets.
True.
I don't need to be tucked in.
There are also EVPs. Do you remember what that stands for?
Electronic voice phenomenon.
Yeah. Of, like, high-pitched little girls singing.
Nah. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope, I don't fuck with that. Nope.
There have been multiple reports of, you know, women singing, feminine voices. Some people say Mary, like, sings to them, like, lullabies, sings them to sleep.
Okay, that's kind of cute. Creepy as shit, though, if you think about it.
You say, creepy!
But endearing.
Yeah.
I take that over, like, screaming at the foot of my bed.
True. Both are scary.
Yeah.
In the video that I watched about room 410, the bathroom door kept opening without anyone touching it. There was like some really quiet like knocking on the walls or the ceiling, like they'd ask questions and then hear like a book fell. And also there's portals in this hotel, mirrors on top of mirrors on top of mirrors.
See, that's their fault for doing that.
I know. You done goof, guys.
That. But, and I should also point out, the point of me mentioning that I used to work at a haunted hotel, and, like, right. all hotels are haunted, is that even though it's, like, obviously not all hotels are, like, portals, hotels are such a place of constant energy. And there's constant, like, movement in and out from all over the world. And there's so many different things that happen in a hotel. There's positive things. There's super negative things. There's people who kill themselves. There's people who murder. There's people who celebrate their weddings. There's people who are getting laid. Like, there's such a vast array of experiences that there's so much emotion tied up in all of these rooms. So it's just a beacon for all of these spirits to just be stuck there. And almost, like, not even, like, it's... I feel like sometimes it's not even the ghosts or the spirits. It's just, like, an emotional, like, impression of the time. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, replaying what used to happen there.
Yeah, this could just be a residual haunting.
That's the
thing. She's just at work. She's genuinely just thinks she's at work.
Yeah.
And apparently she does favor... when she's haunting, she does favor female residents over the men. And it's probably because she's like, get these guys out of here. This is a girls only school.
Yeah. Don't we all favor women?
Most of us should. Sorry, most men suck. Hate to break it to you guys. And another thing about Queen Anne's Hotel is that she's also seen wandering the hallways at night, looking at herself in the mirror, and sometimes playing piano in the lobby.
Me. Just taking a peek.
Now.
Just can't stop looking at myself, and occasionally just plays piano for fun. This is a girl after my own heart. I feel like, you know what? I might go with you. Just because I feel like Mary and I could bond. We'd be besties.
Mm-hmm. Go in a school uniform from the time period so that she... Yeah, this will work, perfect. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Another cool thing that I don't have much detail about because...
And another thing?
That one wasn't even on purpose. Shut up.
I know.
So, apparently, and I have quite literally no information on this, there was also a secret society that was involved in this building.
Yeah, the fucking, for 12 years.
The Gentleman Club?
No, the diocese.
This one doesn't say the name of it. It just said it had something to do with astrology. So I don't know if that's the same thing, but I thought they were two different things.
Well, if they're two different things, you know what? I don't doubt it, because I feel, I wonder if they had to, like, book out the meeting rooms.
Yeah. Okay, the astronomers get it on Tuesday, Friday. The Secret Society Club gets it on Wednesdays.
Freemasons get it on Saturdays from 9 to 4.
And the Illuminati are not invited. And another little fun fact is that right across the street from the Queen Anne Hotel...
Okay, I was just Googling her. I've seen no connection with voodoo whatsoever.
Really?
Really.
Who did you Google?
Mary Ellen Pleasant.
Well, some sources say, some sources do not say, someone named Mary Ellen Pleasant was a potential voodoo queen who lived across the street. However, some sources, including Caitlin, say they cannot find anything about her.
She was, however, an incredibly fascinating woman. They did a whole episode of Drunk History on her.
We should go get drunk on that.
Ah. Oh my god. That's gonna be one of our Patreon exclusives. It's just our version of Drunk History.
That could be fun.
That could be so fun.
Not accurate, but fun.
Accurate. Always accurate.
But when you're drunk?
When I'm drunk, I just give a lot more of my opinion on history. Yeah, Mary Ellen Pleasant was a major civil rights activist. You and I
go? Go to this hotel? Meet and greet in this hotel?
Do we have to stay the night? Or can we just hang out in the lobby?
You can stay the night, but you don't have to sleep.
Okay, I'll take that.
Deal. Done.
Boom. San Francisco, here we come.
But go figure it out for yourself. Let us know if it's haunted. So that we don't have to guys... go.
Yeah, please. Please get Jamie away from the cyberfixation. I can't
we'll do go it. Somewhere else. We'll go to the Stanley Hotel.
No! Oh. One time when I was working... this one time at band camp. One time when I was working at the hotel. Not quite as cool, but our hotel was featured on the High River Haunted Walking Tour. No big deal. There's like three things in High River. The hotel's one of them. But I was at work by myself at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and the main ghost that haunts the hotel is our old manager who shot himself in one of the rooms upstairs.
Of course.
Yeah, super chill ghost, but, like, super touchy with the ladies.
Oh.
And I was sitting in the office, and I just felt like someone was, like, breathing down my neck.
Ew.
Of course, the fucking electrical box went out upstairs. So it's in, like, the attic that I have to go fix this thing. So I walked upstairs by myself. I shit you not, you know when you can, like, feel someone stepping too close to you?
Yeah.
He was walking behind me down the whole hallway, and I could hear someone, like, breathing.
No.
It was not fun. That happened quite often.
Didn't you also see someone, like, running behind pillars or something?
It was in the kitchen. Someone was running around in the kitchen, and then they, like, threw a glass across the...
That's so scary.
That used to happen all the time. The kitchen was the worst. Like, pots would get thrown, dishes would get smashed...
Do you have any other stories that you haven't told on here about your hotel?
Probably. I have a lot of stories from the hotel, actually. The hotel was when I decided, this is the best time to read The Shining.
Yeah.
But we thought there was something bad in the event room. That was the only place that felt, like, heavy.
Bad?
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but it didn't. We had a medium come in that had said something about there being, like, a super negative entity that they couldn't pinpoint that hung out in the dining room, or, like, the dining hall thing. And we were like, yeah, no, that tracks. That's pretty, on par.
Gross.
Yeah, not ideal. But that's, every hotel's got something, I can assure you.
True. Tag us in any of your haunted hotels.
Yeah, you guys ever worked at a hotel? You guys ever stayed at a haunted hotel? We would love to hear it. If you would like to let us know what you thought about today's episode or share your own haunted hotel stories, you can send us a message over on our email, which is creepsandcoffee@gmail.com. You can check out our Instagram or our Twitter, or X, whatever it is, at creepsandcoffee. Or you can check out our Patreon and get access to all sorts of fun bonus features. You can get a behind-the-scenes look at what a Creeps and Coffee recording session is like. You get access to an extra special bonus episode once a month. You get a very special shout-out right here at the end of the show. And you get to call yourself a member of the SAS Squad. We would be so thrilled to have you. We so enjoyed being able to gossip about gossip from the 1890s today.
Mm-hmm.
We love ya.
Let's do this again sometime.
Let's do this again. I'd love to chat.
I'll call you.
I love my people call your people.
Oh. You're ugly anyway. I didn't want to go on a date with you anyway. You're stupid. Women suck.
Remember your position.
And scene. Sorry, we're just making fun of misogynistic men.
I'm making fun of my expert.
Bye! Bye, have a good day! Except
love you. Creeps and Coffee is produced and edited by us, Kate and Jane.
Our theme music is Stuck in a Hole by Dated.
For more information on where to find them, check out the link in our show notes. And to connect with us, follow us on Instagram, Twitter,